Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's much lower profile because it's college baseball, not college basketball. But, like, it's not much different than, like, Chris Webber calling that timeout.
Yeah.
It's... I mean, you threw the ball to the backstop in a tie game in the bottom of the ninth and an elimination game in the College World Series. So hopefully from here he'll go on and have the type of career where this is just a little bullet point on his Wikipedia page forever and not the thing that he's known for forever. But what an awful moment for Stanford and that pitcher specifically. Incredible moment for Vanderbilt. So now – they advance to play NC State, and that game will be tomorrow afternoon. And the way it's set up, Vanderbilt will have to beat NC State on Friday and then again on Saturday. They've got to win two straight games against NC State, or else NC State advances to the College World Series Finals. And on the bottom half of the bracket, it's exactly the same situation, but the SEC team is on top there. It's Mississippi State, undefeated in the College World Series so far, waiting on the winner of Virginia and Texas. Virginia and Texas play tonight. Winner of that game will play Mississippi State tomorrow, and then they will have to beat Mississippi State twice. If not, Mississippi State advances to the College World Series final. So if you're looking for the way this will probably go, we're going to have a three-game series starting next Monday for the title between NC State and Mississippi State, but there is still a chance we could get an all-SEC College World Series final. It would take Mississippi State not losing to the winner of Virginia and Texas twice, and it would take Vanderbilt beating NC State twice.
Story number three.
Travelers Championship underway in Connecticut today. First round, Bryson DeChambeau, one under par. He is six shots off the lead, and Brooks Koepka, he was still playing. He's now one under par through 17. Phil Mickelson also one under par through 17. No, he's finished. And Ricky Fowler, one under par, also finished. So some big names down there. The top of the leaderboard, not really star-studded. Kramer Hickok.
Not familiar with Kramer.
I wasn't either. But I went.
That's a great name.
Kramer?
Kramer Hickok? That's a great name.
It could be Hickok. Okay. I don't know. Kramer Hickok. So I went and looked it up. I'm like, who is Kramer Hickok? He's never won on the PGA Tour. He has been a professional since 2016. I guess the thing he's most known for, to the extent that he's known at all, he was roommates with Jordan Spieth at Texas.
Okay.
He won a national championship at Texas with Jordan Spieth, and he was roommates with Jordan Spieth.
Nice.
So he's your first round leader, seven under par, along with another person with a difficult name I'm not going to mess up live on radio. So they got co-leaders at seven under par. And then I guess the biggest name, somewhere close to the top of the leaderboard, Bubba Watson is four under par. Patrick Cantlay is two under par. And then, again, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, all at one under par. So it's a pretty good field, given that it's the week after the U.S. Open. And we'll see how it unfolds over the next few days.
Story number four.
Free Britney movement. Full steam ahead now, Big
yep.
Devin. Are you Free Britney?
Of course. Are you kidding me? I'm Free Britney.
I am also Free Britney.
Yes. I loved the documentary that came out recently.
It was sad. I felt sorry for her.
I felt sorry for it too. It was like, you know, I've seen her in concert before.
Okay, Brad.
Yeah.
Humble bragging?
Yeah.
Where did you see Britney Spears in concert?
Pyramid.
The Pyramid?
Uh-huh.
Who'd she play with?
I don't remember who opened for. I feel like it wasn't anything big.
I've never seen Britney Spears in concert, but I was going through, like, we were cleaning out our attics and stuff recently, and I'm just finding boxes of stuff, and I found, like, boxes of stuff I had once upon a time, and in the box, there was a Britney Spears calendar.
Oh, right.
Had a Britney Spears.
And before people try to check, I was like 12, so everyone calm down.
No, you know, I would go see Britney Spears tomorrow.
I think I'd go see Britney Spears tomorrow, too.
She's a pop star. What
yeah.
do I care? I like shows.
Good.
She puts
okay,
on a
good.
Show. You don't have to apologize for seeing Britney
All right,
Spears.
Good.
She's an international pop star. One of the biggest pop stars in modern history. That's easy to say. That's reasonable,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
She's massive. So I'm free Britney. For people who don't know, she spoke in court yesterday, or spoke by phone to a judge yesterday, but it was played in court, like on speakerphone or however they do that. And she detailed like what her life has been like under this conservatorship, and it's been sounds awful, you know? Her version of it sounds awful. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about wanting to sue her family, and they've put her on drugs and birth control. They won't let her have a family. They won't let her have children. They won't let her get married. So I am 100% free Britney as well. Justin Timberlake, by the way, came out this morning in support of Britney Spears. I will say, though, like, if we're being honest, she's not well.
No.
How about this?
Maybe not.
I should rephrase that. I don't know her at all. She doesn't seem well based on Instagram videos. She seems like something's a little...
loopy.
I don't know if loopy is the right word. Just like something's a little off there. Which she acknowledged she does still need to continue treatment. She just doesn't think it needs to be treatment in a public facility. And it doesn't need to be often as they want it. But like, so... I guess I've read a lot about this. I don't know every little detail, but based on what I know, like, you don't put a person in this situation for no reason.
Right. I agree with that. I think now that, you know, so many years have passed, like, she's a grown woman with kids. Like, that's her money. Like she should be able to get her money.
I think at some point, you know what? Okay, maybe she's a little, I don't even know the proper way to say it, so I'll just stop there. Maybe she's a little whatever. Maybe she's battling some things, dealing with some issues. But I don't know. I know a lot of people who are battling things and dealing with issues, and they still get to like do what they want to do.
Of course.
They don't always make the best decisions.
Yeah, I'm friends with those people.
they don't always make the best decisions. And you could see how it might go off the rails. But I don't know. I'm happy to let her have an opportunity to take it off the rails and hope to God that she doesn't. So the judge seemed to respond fairly positively to all of this, and it looks like she might, I emphasize the word might, get what it is she wants, which is just to, you know, live the life that she wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
The way she explains it, like she has friends who live 8 miles away. If she wants to go see them, it's not allowed.
That's
too much.
That's way too much.
It feels like it's too much. So free Britney.
Free Britney.
Free Britney indeed. And then hopefully it goes well. I mean, that's the other side of this. Free Britney could not go well.
Right.
So let's go free Britney, regardless of how it goes. But free Britney, and then let's hope it goes well.
Yep.
Jeff Calkins is up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in the know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN, with 92.9's Jeff Calkins now and every day around 5 p.m.
Jeff Calkins is award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of Jeff Calkins Show weekdays 9 to 11 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
Well, I'm okay, but I got a little bit of a bone to pick. You know, after I hang up the phone on these 5 o'clock segment, usually begins around 5:17,
sure.
I hang up the phone, and you think that I don't hear what you have to say next, but routinely, you and Bennett then slander me.
Oh, no.
And yesterday, I hung up, and you immediately complained that you didn't get to I only know this because I have people who report that that you didn't get to ask your questions. And so, you know, it's your show. If you can't control the damn show, like, why does it have the Gary Parrish name on it? You know, like, fine, you ask whatever questions you want, you know?
No, here's the honest – here's the truth. I was trying to think about what I was going to. What,
yeah,
I know you're kidding. I was trying to think. Okay, what was I actually going to talk to Jeff about? Because I'd say at least 60% of the time, 3 out of 5 days, we never get to what I was actually going to ask you about.
Right.
And so I was just trying to think, and I said, "Oh, by the way, we ended up talking about RG3's wife's butt and other and butts in general for about 20 minutes." And I would like the record to note that it wasn't because I brought this up. It was because Jeff brought this up.
That's right.
And so that was my only point. Here's the truth. The reason I ask such an open-ended question to you every time I bring you on, like, Jeff, what's up? Jeff, how you doing? It's because I am hopeful that you will,
that I'll take it somewhere.
that you will say something that will spark a hopefully more interesting conversation than, so what'd you think about Trae Young last night?
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. Now, I consider it my responsibility to sometimes just go off on a total tangent. But anyway, I got nothing big. I got nothing GP today.
Okay.
I was sufficiently reined in, scolded yesterday when people reported to this that I have blanked my mind. I bring nothing to the show today.
Well, see, this is one of those deals where, and you should know better, you're getting your information secondhand, and they didn't bring it to you properly. I was not complaining that I didn't get to ask you what I was going
to
ask you.
You were explaining, not complaining.
I was explaining that the reason we never got to these things is because you brought up RG3's wife's butt, and then we talked, and I had a perfectly good time. I would rather talk about RG3's wife's butt and butts in general, and and the time you used to get stared out by gay men while in college. I love all of that more than anything I was going to talk about. But I wanted people to understand. I didn't just want to start talking about butts. Jeff brought that.
Funny. By the way, I did some research after our conversation yesterday, and I looked at why do men stare at women. Seems kind of obvious, maybe, but like. And the studies indicate that men stare at women differently than women stare at men. When men stare at women, they are staring specifically at parts, right? Whereas when women stare at men, they're taking in the whole person, basically. And in fact, not in the way that, like, once men, not in... In much the same way that men stare at women who may not be attractive to them, right? So, but when men stare at women, it's very instrumental, and it is because what they did was they showed pictures and they tracked what exactly you were looking at, and men, pretty crude, like we go right for parts, and women are like, oh, isn't he nice? Like that.
Well, what part do we go to first? Does that study show that?
It said the breasts and the hip area.
I think that's right. Speaking from experience, I think that's right.
It says that, yeah. So anyway, I did. I actually said, well, I wonder what there's got to be science on this. I Googled, you know, and It didn't. We didn't come out well as men. We didn't reflect well on us. The science does not reflect well on us.
No, I think men in general, not that there aren't exceptions to this rule, but men in general are much shallower than the average man is much shallower than the average woman. I would suggest, because there are guys that it doesn't matter how awesome this woman is, how funny she is, how successful she is. If she doesn't look a certain way, it's a non-starter for some guys. And yet, I think that's less true for...
Right. I mean, witness your marriage, right?
That's exactly right. that's exactly right. And keep in mind...
You're not tall. You're a perfectly good-looking fellow, but you're not tall. You're not, like, whatever.
Nothing. You know? I'm nothing. I'm awful. Like, there is never...
There is never
a time where a picture isn't posted of my wife and I where somebody doesn't jump into the comments and say, "Oh boy, you outkicked your coverage! Ha 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 ha!" I don't know. You think I don't know? You think I can't look at this? You think I'm not looking at the same pictures you look at? Like, I understand. Like, my entire life, I've never seriously dated somebody who wasn't much more attractive than me. Never. Every person I ever spent real time.
Which speaks well of women's ability to see the whole person.
Yeah, they were looking.
Let's be honest. They didn't see the whole person. They didn't know about your obsessions and stuff like that.
Yeah, they didn't see. They didn't see the old person till later.
And then the whole person came later, right?
Yeah, and
exactly.
then they saw the version of me I was willing to show them initially. And so they're willing to go, okay, this guy's short and he's got a. His neck is awful, you know, but like he's fun, but he's funny and he seems to be able to carry on a conversation. So I can look past those things. Even if when we take pictures, it's going to be quite clear that I should be dating somebody who looks better looking.
You know, many men would say, okay, this woman isn't, you know, whatever. She doesn't really do it for me, but my God, she's funny.
I think that's harder for men to do.
Yeah. Here's the point though, is that it's also, it goes to my, is it biologically wired? Because, like, men men stare very instrumentally at women, at parts, according to the science. And so is that just because, like, we grew up looking at, like, for me it was Playboy in a, you know, my brother's trumpet case, he had in his trumpet case, or is it because... you're wired, somehow wired differently.
Well, it's also like it's television. It's what you see, you know? It's and now, today, it's worse than ever because of Instagram and all the, you're just seeing perfection all the time. And it's not just, it doesn't make you more wired. I think it actually makes it more difficult for, it makes it difficult for women because that's.
Neither of us have daughters. Neither of us have daughters, but I would think that would be a very hard thing to help your daughter figure out how to negotiate this world that is so freaking shallow where you're judged on your appearance all the time.
There was a story a few years ago in one of the, you know, real national newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, whatever it was, and it was a story like basically the impact Instagram is having on young girls, because we don't know. Like, here's the thing, like right now we still don't know what it like. Me and Oliver, my middle guy, went out and hit golf balls earlier today. So he's here at the studio with me. He's back in my office. And, you know, I was walked back there to check on him a second ago, and he's, like, looking at an iPad, which is something he does a lot. And we don't know what impact that has on a child. We have never raised children on iPads.
Right.
We're doing that for the first time right now. And I bet you the results aren't great, you know? And similarly, we have never raised children, but more specifically, girls in an Instagram world. And this story was sort of noting that and detailing it. And it was the saddest thing. Like, you have these little 13-year-old girls, and they would post a picture on Instagram. And they, you know, they would, you know, use a filter and do this. And they just get the, like, 13-year-old girls trying to make themselves look as perfectly as they can look on this picture. And then they post the picture. And as the little girls would explain it, if they didn't get X amount of likes within so-and-so minutes, they would delete it. Because either they suddenly think, oh, wow, this picture must not look the way I thought it looked. I must be ugly. Or They would, you know, it'd be like, it'll be embarrassing if my friends see this picture and I only got 14 likes. So I've just got to delete the picture and it can't be there. And that's just like a lot to deal with at that age.
Right.
But I think it carries over to adulthood as well. I don't know if you saw the story, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so. Khloe Kardashian, who is a beautiful woman, let's be clear, but she's not her sister's, if we're being honest. So she's always struggled with this. She's talked about it. Like, you know, Kim looks a certain way and Courtney looks a certain way and Kendall and Kylie look a certain way and Khloe doesn't quite look the same way. If you saw Khloe Kardashian by herself, you'd go, that's an attractive woman. But when you surround her with her sisters, like, you know, it's a little tougher deal. And she's struggled with that her entire life. So she's putting these pictures on Instagram all the time and she looks great. And then they were at like a very casual pool party at Kris Jenner's house or something. And her grandmother took a picture of her just at the pool. And like somehow this picture ended up on the internet, on Instagram or somewhere. And she was having a breakdown about it, like trying to get it removed from the internet because it wasn't filtered properly. Because she looked like a normal person. And right. And the picture she normally puts out there, she doesn't look like a normal person. She looked perfect, or as perfect as she can be. And the idea that her actual body, which still looked fine, but the idea that her actual body was out there for public consumption terrified her, which is just an awful, awful feeling.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We don't know exactly, because this is all new. I literally had this thought today. I picked up a book two nights ago, and I started reading it. And I'm a kid who I used to read all the time. Like when we would go growing up, we would do this 11-hour trip from Buffalo to Northern Michigan in the summers, and like my mom would let me go get, you know, one Hardy Boy book for the trip up and one Hardy Boy book for the trip back. Right? I mean, I just loved reading. And I picked up a book the other day and I started reading it and it just struck me that, boy, this is kind of a slow thing, you know, this is arduous just to get through this one page and then this. And so this is, you know, and I'm fundamentally largely fully formed, and the world of social media and Netflix and everything else has made it such that I think that reading, I who grew up as a reader, think reading is, I don't have the patience for it anymore, you know. I have patience to read a tweet, but to like actually read a page of a book and then turn the page and then read another page and then turn the book and then read another page, it seems so laborious compared to, you know, watching something on Netflix. And so I see the impact it's having on me, much less someone who is being formed by this, right?
Oh, there's no question. Like, how about this? I am somebody who, when I was 23 years old, would actually lay in bed and read a book, you know? I mean, I would also be out six nights a week. But, like, the one night a week I wasn't, I would actually lay in bed and read a book. Like, I enjoyed spending time like that. I'm embarrassed to say this, but it is the truth. I cannot remember the last time I read a book, any book, even books my friends write. I cannot remember the last time I picked up a book. Because, like, even, like, I was at the beach last week. The beach is... I saw Seth Davis.
That's where you would read a book.
That's
right.
Where you would read a book.
Bring three books to the book.
No,
three
books. I mean, yeah. Why am I going to read a book? I'm going to scroll my phone. You know, I'm going to scroll Instagram. I'm not going to read a book. I don't have that kind of time. I'm reading tweets, you know? And so it's like, it is sad. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a reader, but I don't read. Right. I don't read books. I read all day long. I read all day long, but I don't.
It's different though. You do admit it's different. Like, it's a different discipline reading a tweet or even a story and, you know, wherever the Atlantic, it's different than reading a book. Like, reading a book is, it's just like, oh, really? This is what, but again, like you, I was absolutely a voracious reader.
But it's the same thing with movies. There are so many movies that I want to watch and I go, but I don't have 2 hours and 20 minutes to do this. Except I do.
Even movies which require nothing other than you to sit there are like too laborious. Like,
yeah, I don't. It's
a
like
whole movie? Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, like I can watch a 46-minute episode of some show I'm watching on Netflix. That sounds doable. But a 2 hour and 20, where am I going to find 2 hours and 20 minutes to watch a movie? Except where did I used to find 2 hours and 20 minutes to watch a movie? It's not that I don't have time to watch the movie. It's that I want to fill my time with shorter things.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not like you don't have 2 hours and 20 minutes, because when your phone tells you at the end of the week much time you were on, whatever, you knew that you had time. You just spent, you invested in that, right?
Yeah, yeah. You spend your time doing other things. Like, it's the other one I have to constantly remind myself. It's like, but I didn't have 30 minutes to spend on the Peloton today. Well, yes, you did. Yeah, you did. You scrolled Instagram for 30 minutes sitting at your desk. You read Twitter on you looked at pictures for 30 minutes. Like,
there 30 minutes on TikTok. Right?
Yeah, there. Like, I don't even have the TikTok thing because I can't get involved. It's just too. I feel like it'd be too much for me because I am a mindless scroller. I gain nothing from it, but I still just scroll and scroll and scroll. I very rarely post like on Instagram or Facebook. But I don't really look at Facebook that much anymore. It's just a nightmare. But like Instagram is like, it's just it's easy to digest. You see funny videos, you see pretty things, and it's just a totally mindless thing that I gain nothing from. But I look at it every day. Like, I just find myself, like, I would just be sitting on, you know, at my desk, you know, preparing for a radio show.
45 minutes will go by.
Usually not that much, but 15. Right. 15 can go right. by easy. 15. And that's 15 minutes that you could have actually been doing something productive. So, like, I waste time on it, but then I don't waste time participating. Like, my wife sometimes would be like, you need to step your Instagram game up. And I'm like, I'm 44 years old. Why do I need to step my Instagram
up? You want you to step your Instagram game up? Really?
Yeah. She's like, you only have X amount of followers. You're like, you should be bigger than that. And I'm like, what does it even matter anymore? Like,
you know,
yeah. Like, she shames my Instagram. And I'm like, I don't benefit from it in any obvious way. Like, Twitter is my job's connected to that. And Facebook, you know, loosely, my job is connected to that. But, like, I don't really gain anything. I mean, I guess I could, but I drew the line somewhere because I see people, and God bless them. Like, if you can do it, then do it. And have fun. If it's enjoyable for you and you to you and you can do it, then do it. But I see people, like, posting every day, like, videos every day. It's just like, you know, talking to the camera every day. And I look at it and I enjoy it. It's fine. If I don't like it, I'll unfollow you and I don't have to see it anymore. But it just seems exhausting to me. Like, when I'm on vacation, I see other people on vacation and they're posting all the time from their vacation. And I go, okay, should I be doing that? And I'm like, well, why? What is the point? Why do I need to show people what I'm doing all the time? Like, it feels like I would have less of a good time if I had to focus on, well, let me stop this fun thing I'm doing so that I can create.
Do you ever, okay, well, this is sort of a different question. Do you ever, if you're at a concert, feel the need to, like, so whatever, whoever your favorite band or artist is performing, whatever your favorite band or artist song is, whatever. I'm watching James Taylor do Fire and Rain or something, right? Sweet Baby Jane. Do I feel the need? Is it enough for me to just sit there and listen to it and watch it, or do I need to capture that on my phone? Have you ever done it? Have you ever said, I need to capture this on my phone? You have. There's actually, you know, professional music videos of him singing this. You don't need it for posterity. You can call it up anytime. So why do we do it? But people do it all the time, right?
Well, I think, and this is one where I'll group myself in with everybody else, we're all shallow to different degrees, you know? So it's been so long since I've been to a concert, but like pre-pandemic, Kelly and I went to Jay-Z and Beyonce down in Atlanta, and we had incredible seats, like right on the stage. And like Beyonce's right in front of you. Like she's as close to me as Bennett is right now. And Jay-Z's right in front of me. And you kind of want to capture that and then share it.
Just to show how close you were to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Right. I mean, listen, I mean, like,
hell yeah.
Just to show, hey, look, hey, I don't know what you nerds are doing tonight, but look at me. I'm in Atlanta with Jay and Beyonce. And so when we were at that concert, I did find myself doing that. And I'm glad that I did. But I will tell you, so by the time we saw them, I had seen the whole tour. people are videoing the entire tour and putting it on YouTube and Instagram.
Of course,
so by the time, it's wild. Like, once upon a time, you'd go to a concert and you don't really know what you're getting into. Like, I remember went to a Metallica concert when I was in high school. And it was at the Pyramid. Maybe high school, maybe college, but long time ago. It was a Metallica concert at the Pyramid. And at some point in the show, this guy falls from the rafters. He's like up there working on something. He looks like he's part of the crew and he's working on something. And he falls from the rafters and he's just like hanging there from the rafters. And at the time, I'm like, holy Lord, like, did we just watch a guy die in the middle of a Metallica concert? It was part of the show. And
really?
Yes. It was. I don't even know why it was part of the show, but it was part of the show. And my point is, in 2021, you would know that's part of the show because you would have already seen it on YouTube or Instagram 50 times. But at the time, I didn't know. So my point is this. By the time I got the Jay-Z Beyonce show in Atlanta, I knew the whole set list. I knew exactly when they were doing everything. And I knew how the show opened with them coming down this like elevator type thing and the beginning of Holy Grail's playing. And then Beyonce starts singing, and then Jay jumps in, and it's this big moment. And I'd watched it on YouTube so often that I was like, man, that's like a really awesome way, perfect way to open a show. And so we're at this show, and I'm like, I'm going to capture this and be the 50,000th person to have video of this on their phone. So I'm sitting there, and it's all happening. And this whole moment, you paid hundreds of dollars for these tickets, and this whole moment's happening, and I'm holding my phone up. And I'm recording the whole thing. And then I had it. And then I went, why? Why did I do that?
Right.
Like, I could have just
Did I even watch it?
Did I even watch it,
or was I just recording it?
Or was I just recording it? And so I had this moment where I was like, this is idiotic. But I also knew, eventually, I'm going to make a post about this, and I'd like for people to see how close Beyonce was to me. So I struggle with that a little bit. But the thing that I actually struggle with is, hey, you're out playing golf right now. Make a video and post it to your Instagram stories. It's like, it seems stressful to like stop what you're doing. I've got enough things going
on. I'll tell you what's stressful. I went to see a comedian recently at the Halloran Center. Mind you, I can't even remember the comedian's name. He was the guy who did Patriot Act. He was on the Daily Show, and he had a show called Patriot Act. Very funny.
Was this recently?
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. His name is
Patriot Act. Yes. Look him up. Someone look up his Raj. I think it is.
Yeah,
so, whatever. I'm gonna. But anyway, so but when you go and they told you this in advance, you go into the show, you have to put your phone in a magnetic case that is sealed, and you do not get it back. You get your phone. You have your phone with you, but you can't get at it until after the show. You can unseal it. It's like they just have those little gizmo and it breaks the magnetic thing and whatever else. And it is so difficult to know your phone is there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the show was. By the time we got in and sat down, whatever. And just wonder what is happening on your phone that you do not have access to because it's in this magnetically sealed pouch. He did it because he's working on the new material and a new Netflix show, and he didn't want bits showing up. I'm sure the matter is, I could have had another phone like with me. They just take one phone.
Right.
But whatever. Like, everyone would have known if you're doing it, like you had violated the rules. And then at the end, he asked you not to explain what the show was about or whatever, and that's all fine. I'm sure various people have. But it's amazing how frustrating it is in that moment to know you have your phone with you, but you cannot get at it.
Yeah,
has that ever happened to you? Have you ever surrendered your phone?
Yeah, I think at Dave Chappelle we had to do that. I know at Aziz Ansari we had to do that. That was at the Halloran Center. Chappelle was at the Orpheum. I think both shows were like, lock your phone up. And the reason for that, what makes that different than a concert is that if you go to a Jay-Z and Beyonce show and they're going to open with Holy Grail, like, you know, you've heard it 1,000 times. Like, they're not going to surprise. When you go watch
the joke, you can only hear once for the first time.
The joke, you have to hear it once. And that's like Chappelle's talked about this before. He says, once I record he spends a lot of dates and a lot of time in clubs working on material, working on a special. Then he gets it. Then he says, once I tape the special, that's over. I can never do any of that again. It's over. Once it's out there, it's over with. You know, so you spend all this time creating an hour, and then you do that hour for Netflix, and now that is a song that you will never play again. Now you have to do a whole new song. And so what comedians don't want is that being out there in advance.
Before the thing.
Popping up on Netflix or in advance of somebody seeing the show in person. So, yeah, I've had my phone locked up. And that makes total sense to me. In fact, I'm glad that they do it. Because you wouldn't want to spend real money to go see a comedian and you've already heard all the jokes.
That is correct. Yes, exactly.
Whereas with music, you've already heard all the songs, but that's just sort of part of
the deal. The whole point is to go hear them perform it live. You know the song. The weird thing is that with music sometimes, if it's an artist that you're not familiar with that much, some people spend a week before you go see it.
That's exactly right.
Listening to the songs, so when you see it, it's familiar to you and it resonates in a different way. It's like the opposite of a joke.
That's exactly right. Like, I remember when I was in high school, Guns N' Roses came to the Pyramid, and the opener was a band I had never heard, Soundgarden. And so I went and bought a Soundgarden album. It was Bad Motor Finger. And I spent, you know, the month leading up to it listening to Bad Motor Finger, so I would have some idea of what this opening band was. So it works the exact opposite way. Hey, we did it again. This is what we should do from now on. We talk about whatever we want to talk about, and then at the end, I tell you what I was actually going to ask you about. Because this morning
What was today's? Yeah.
You mentioned that you tried to execute a fist bump and you failed miserably.
Oh yeah. No, I did. I didn't fail here. Today's National Handshake Day. Everybody, happy National Handshake Day. Earlier, on another version of this, another show, we discussed what was going to come out of the pandemic, what was going to survive the pandemic, and you were endorsing the fist bump as the new answer to the handshake. Now we can all agree on it. Easy to execute. No confusion. It's much more hygienic. You don't have people giving you weird kinds of fist bumps like they do handshakes. So I'm not too old to learn something new. So I went out there and for 2 weeks, I've executed nothing but fist bumps since I see people. And what I find is that I feel stingy. Like, I did a piece on Mike Glenn, the FedEx executive, over the weekend, and I met him at Panera sometime last week, I guess it was. And I walk up and I stick my hand out with a fist bump, and I just felt stingy doing it. Like, and he's sort of like, I don't know, like maybe I'm projecting, but I think he got you just give me a fist bump? Like, what is wrong with you? We're both vaccinated. So I can't endorse in certain circumstances, but for me, it's not going to be a end all be all. I'm just going to go fist bump all the time because I think it is emotionally stingy.
Okay, I didn't walk you through it step by step. Let me help you. First off, and I did stress this when we talked about it last week, you have to go to the fist bump early. You have to be 2 seconds ahead of where you would go with a handshake.
Right.
You gotta throw it out early, and then you have to accompany the fist. If you feel like
it's not warm.
If you feel like it's not warm enough, back it up with warm words and facial expressions. So you might throw it out there and not just fist bump. Hey, Mike, how you doing? You have to throw it out there like, Mike, good to see you, brother. It's something. You gotta warm it up with words and facial expressions. A big smile and an extended fist.
I don't think I'm capable of rubbing my stomach and patting my head at the same time. This is probably too complicated for me.
I'm just saying, if you execute a fist bump early enough and accompany it with facial expressions and words,
it
works fine. I found it to work fine in my own life.
Well, all right.
All right. I'll see you
later.
Good talking to you.
That was like the equivalent of a lame fist bump that goodbye there.
I think fist bumps are fine. I've never had a bad experience with a fist bump.
I'm not a fan. I'll do them, but I'm not a huge fan.
Hey, you're lucky you even have fists today.
That's
do you understand?
Yeah.
You're lucky you even have fists. Those fists are mine whenever I want them. Try to retire one day, see what happens to those fists. They'll be mine. I'll take them home. Do things with them. Be back in a second.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, fast like a Lambo. I be jumping off the stage, oh.
Jumping, jumping, hey, hey.
Crowd better save her.
Crowd going, hey, hey.
I can't believe we made it.
This is what we made, man.
This is what we're thankful.
This is what we think, man.
You're looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance. Get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, a second-generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, she can help you. Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you're somebody who likes to support local businesses that support the local university, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance, that's the agency for you. Cannot overstate the importance of the word local. This is a locally owned agency. That means they got offices in the Memphis area. They got a 901 area code. So when you are having to make that automobile claim or homeowner's claim, you get to call somebody here. Somebody who lives here. Who you know if you want to know. Who you can go to their office if you want to go to their office. A lot different than calling a 1-800 number talking to somebody in a different part of the country who doesn't know you. They might be able to type in your policy number. They don't know who you are. Probably not as helpful as somebody who actually knows you, lives near you, would be. 901-867-SAVES, the number, 901-867-7283. I mentioned two locations in the Memphis area. One's in Lakeland, Canada Road, the other in Covington, Highway 51. 867-7283 is the number. Give them a call on the web, rookinsurance.com. Update on the collapsed condo down in Miami. If you haven't followed the news today, overnight, building collapses. Part of a building collapses. One person is already confirmed dead. 99 people are now unaccounted for, which is obviously not great because they know who's supposed to be in that building, and they're trying to call them.
Yeah.
And they can't get them. 99 people. The latest is that the rescue workers have actually made contact with people who are buried in the rubble. They're talking to them.
Oh, wow.
But
they can't get to them.
I mean, they're trying, but it's not easy. The way they explained it, and I don't know how buildings work, but that apparently there's a great way for a building to fall and a not great way for a building to fall. Or let me rephrase. Everything's awful anytime a building falls, but there's better ways for a building to fall, and this one fell the worst way. It pancaked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. In other words, one floor, boom, 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 boom. So it's like a 12-story building. 12 stories just fell on top of each other. So I'll let you imagine what that might be like. But there are people who are alive still. This thing happened overnight. It's 5:50.
Mm.
There's still people buried under that rubble right now. the rescue workers are talking with them. They can communicate, but they're having a hard time getting to them. But they're going to work around the clock to try to make this less of a tragedy than it otherwise would be. But just an awful situation down in Miami. You can follow it on every network tonight, I'm certain. Be back with Dinner to Go.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tied, the power's above me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a puppet here. If you want to place blame, then look to...
July 4th, right around the corner. Means you're going to need fireworks. Place to get them, Boom City Fireworks. Two locations in the Memphis area, one of which is at State Line and Getwell. That's the one I always go to. Perfectly located, and the best thing about it is everything is inside. Yeah, you got to park outside, then you get to walk inside. So you're shopping, and it is air conditioned. And boy, you'll appreciate it when you start comparing it to what it feels like outside. Just miserable outside right now. Not a problem at Boom City Fireworks. You're going to be able to shop inside. They've got the largest selection of fireworks in the Mid-South, and guess what? You don't have to cross a bridge. I know in recent years it might be commonplace for people to cross the bridge, go to West Memphis, go to Arkansas, get your fireworks there. I don't, it never made sense to me, but it certainly doesn't make sense now because I don't know if you heard, the bridge doesn't work. So you want to avoid that nightmare? Keep it in Memphis. 3rd Street South, State Line, and Getwell. Two locations in the Memphis area. More information, go to Facebook. Type in Boom City Fireworks. The page will pop up. It's Boom City Fireworks. That's where you're getting your fireworks to celebrate the 4th of July. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff. Let's focus on some breaking news from Woj. He is reporting that Jason Kidd is now the leading candidate to be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Rick Carlisle, I couldn't tell if he was trolling or being sincere.
He was trolling.
I thought so, too. Suggested today, I think they should hire Jason Kidd to be the next coach of the Mavericks because Luka and Jason have a lot of stuff in common. They're very similar. And it actually does look like, according to Woj, Mark Cuban really might go that direction. So Jason Kidd considered the strong frontrunner to be the next coach of the Mavericks. You can read more at ESPN.com.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Game 3, Western Conference Final, Suns-Clippers inside Staples Center. Phoenix has a 2-0 lead. They get Chris Paul back tonight. Phoenix is now a 1.5-point favorite. What do you think?
Ooh, 1.5-point.
Never asked a man with no hands what
now,
he thinks.
I know. If you look at the last two series, Clippers went down 0-2 in both of them and ended up winning Game 3. So I'll go with the trend and say I'll take the Clippers. What was it? Phoenix minus 1.5?
Clippers plus 1.5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.